This morning we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, as we continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. The theme of our study is entitled Call. The idea is God's call upon your life. A lot of people say, I'm Christian, I'm saved, but do you realize God has laid claim to your life? If you are a child of God, you're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be special. You're supposed to be a servant of the Most High God. And that's what we're going to be, that's what we've been talking about through this book of 1 Corinthians today. The title of the message is Free to Serve. Would you stand with me as we read from God's precious word? And I remind you, as we open these wonderful pages, this is God speaking to us today. This is the Word of God, is without error, perfect in every way. If you came to this service to hear from God, prepare. You're about to hear from God as we read the Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul writes, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to look into your word today and to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. I pray that now this message, Lord, you would just use me as an instrument as your speaking tool, that you'd speak through me, that it be your message, not mine, but that, Lord, you would just proclaim your goodness through this message today. Lord, we pray for those in this service. Lord, we know that not everyone knows you as their personal Savior, that there are some here that if they were to die now, heaven would not be their home, but rather they would go to the place that you've prepared for Satan and his angels. Because of rejection, Lord, they'd spend eternity in hell. And I pray that now you'd just convict, that you'd begin to work in their hearts, and that today, Lord, they'd come to know you as their personal Savior. We rejoice in your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. And we thank you that we have your ear in this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Free. We live in the home of the free and the land of the brave. I like that term, freedom. I've used that a time or two. There's been a time or two in my life I've said, well, I'm 50 years old. I can do what I want to do. Why? Because I'm free. I want to be free. I want to decide my own decisions. I want to decide how I'm going to live my life. You see, that's when Paul, he opens this text. He said, I am free. I am free. That word freedom, of course, means to be controlled or not to be controlled or restrained by anyone. I like the idea of people not telling me what to do. How about you? I really liked it when I was a teenager. I didn't want my mom and dad to tell me, don't do that or do that. Now I've come to understand that it's okay. I need a little instruction on occasion, you know. But I do like the concept of being free to choose to spend my life however I want to spend it. You see, I can spend my life chasing my hobbies. I can spend my life living for myself selfishly. I can spend my life living for my family. Or I can spend my life serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But one thing I want to establish today, one thing Paul established in this text, was that he was free from all men. Meaning he wasn't obligated toward any person. Now, Paul had just finished in prior verses, so you get the idea, the concept that Paul's building here. He had just finished explaining the responsibility that churches had to support men of the ministry. Okay? And 2 weeks ago, we talked about paying pastors and ministers and their right to expect compensation. And Paul had just went through a long list of that. And at the end of that list, he had closed by sharing that he had not exercised his right to receive wages from the church there. And do you know why that was? Paul said the reason that was so that he could present the gospel without charge. But now he expands that reasoning. He expands that reasoning from the concept of, I'm not obligated, because he had not received funds from people. He was not obligated to anyone to live up to what they thought he should be. You see, had he received, and especially from this church at Corinth, the maturity level being what it was, had he been on salary there, there would have likely been folks that would have said, well, you work for us. Have you ever heard people make that comment about preachers or ministers? Well, you work for the church, and listen, I say this lovingly, but I don't work for the church, I work for God. He's the boss, okay? I do want to serve you, and I do want to minister to you, but I want to be faithful to my God, all right? And that's what Paul had, one of the reasons he had for avoiding receiving funds from this church at Corinth was so that they couldn't say, you owe us. You have to do what we say. You see, Paul was at that point free from all men. It put him in a position to be free to be loyal to his Lord. Absolutely 100% sold out to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And listen to me, that has to be the foundation not only for ministers but for every child of God. And that is my first challenge to you today, is to establish the loyalties in your life. Establish who you're going to live for. You have to make that establishment, because if you're going to live for the Lord, there will be plenty of challenges that will come and try to come between you and God Himself. There will be plenty of people, for example, friends. There will be friends who would challenge your loyalty to the Lord. There are friends who would expect you to support them before you follow the Lord. For example, I've noticed kids today, you know, when they get that young Christian individual who doesn't want to drink, who doesn't drink, you know what they do for him? They designate him. They ask him, well, would you come to the party and be my designated driver? Oh, that's just garbage. Okay? Listen, they're taking advantage of a principle that you have established in your life. And I know it sounds heroic. I've seen them walk around and say, well, I'm the designated driver. I'm keeping them from getting in trouble. No, what you're doing is enabling them to get in trouble. All right? So, but friends, they'll put you in that position that will challenge what you believe and challenge your standards, and you'll wind up in a place, for example, that party I was talking about, in a place that you should not be. Because friends think you should be loyal to friends. Family thinks you should be loyal to your family. I've had people make the comment on numerous occasions, why, if I joined the Baptist church, my granddad would roll over in his grave. Because he wasn't a Baptist. Listen, I want to ask you, my first challenge from the very beginning, right now, is everyone in here establish who you're going to be loyal to. Who are you going to live for? Who are you going to spend your life serving? In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, one of our favorite verses, and it seems, he told the children of Israel, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which are your fathers serve that... or whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, how does this end? We will serve the Lord. You see, the challenge today is that we establish who we're going to be loyal to in this life. Because there are too many things in this life that draws us away from our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, once you're established in who you're going to be loyal to, then you are free to serve. Paul said, second thing, I choose to serve. I'm free from all men, but I have made myself a servant. That word servant, of course, means to enslave. Paul had enslaved himself. He had given up his personal rights for the sake of others. And in this choice, he was not choosing, listen, he was not choosing to respond to the whims and the personal desires of people, but rather he was choosing to be a servant. By serving people, he was a preacher of the gospel, okay? His goal was to bring the message of salvation to all people, which brought him to a challenge. I have made myself a servant, Paul said. But the problem was the setback of his slavery. In Matthew 28:19-20, what do we call that? Your turn. The Great Commission. In the Great Commission, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Here's the challenge. Did you notice the words there? Teaching them to observe all things. You got that? Teaching them to observe all things. And what I want to point out to you is this. The world has its own idea of what a Christian and what a church should be. And the idea of the world, a Christian and a church organization should give to the poor. And they're glad for the church to minister to the poor. In their eyes, a church should visit the sick and minister to the shut-ins. And that's really, really good. You know? But see, here's the setback. We preach Jesus saves. And they can accept that. As long as you don't restrict it to Jesus only. Okay? But the Bible says there's one name given among men whereby men must be saved. That name is Jesus. And when we start saying there is one way to heaven and no other way whatsoever, that the world says that is bigotry. That is not acceptable in the world. Okay? You see, the world often does not want the service that we provide. That's my point here. Okay? Often they do not want the service that we provide. There's time after time, and we being in the location that we are, it's pretty common for people to stop off of the interstate looking for a handout. And listen, I do like to help people when we can, but there's been times I just have not been led to do so. Felt like they were taking advantage. And you can tell immediately when you're not going to give them what they want, they don't have time for you anymore. They're upset. I've even had people look at me and say, well, you're supposed to be a church. Yes. But I want to be like Peter, wasn't it? Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give to you. I want to tell them about Jesus Christ, and they don't want to receive that. I was at the gas station in Russellville a few weeks ago. And I went in, and there was this man who had locked his keys in his car. And he was talking to the clerk, and he was talking. He said, well, if I just could call OnStar. And the clerk didn't have OnStar's number. And so he was just, you know, he was sitting there thinking, what am I going to do? And I was listening to the conversation, and I thought to myself, you know, I think I've got OnStar's number in my cell phone. I pulled out my cell phone, and I looked. Sure enough, I did. I said, sir, let me help you. Let me help you. Here's my cell phone. You call them, and they can unlock your car. And he said, oh, thank you so much. You're such a great guy. You're such a wonderful guy. And, you know, I came to that point where I was really starting to feel real good about myself, you know. when you're really helping somebody out. He was just going on and on about, thank you so much. And even when he called OnStar, he told the lady at OnStar, he said, well, I'm just sitting here with this really nice fella in Russellville, Arkansas, who's let me use his phone. And he's just been such a wonderful person and allowing me to do this. And he's going on and on. The longer he's going on and on, I'm getting prouder and prouder. And I'm waiting for my opportunity to share who I am and what I stand for with the guy. I'm thinking, this is going to be an opportunity that God has put my way, you know? And so he finally hung up, and sure enough, OnStar unlocked his car, and I walked out there with him, and he said, well, what do you do in this town, by the way? I said, oh, I'm the pastor of Victory Missionary Baptist Church just down the road here. And he said, oh, you are? He said, I'm Methodist. See you later. And I thought, wait a minute. I wasn't done feeling good yet. But you know, I didn't get to share with him anything about the ministries of the church. I didn't get to share with him anything about Jesus Christ. I just was good for a phone call, I suppose. But when I mentioned being the pastor, and that's not the first time, the pastor of a Baptist church, that's not the first time that I've turned people off, you know? You see, my point being this, sometimes people don't want what we serve. That's why we have to establish who we're going to be loyal to. Because the world will expect us to serve them hand and foot. But let me tell you something, the church was never meant to be a welfare state. The church was always meant to be a servant of the Most High God with the Great Commission, which says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You see, it is our responsibility to be loyal to God and serve the public the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's Paul's point here. That's what he's getting across about. That's what his life was about. Sometimes folks don't want it. And when they don't want it, that's okay. Keep serving. Keep serving. But remain loyal. Because you see, at that point when you establish your loyalties and you start serving, then you're ready to become all things. Paul said in the text, I've become all things to what? To all people. He said to the Jew, I became a Jew. You know what he's talking about there? Well, Paul was a Jew. When he was around the Jews, he had observed Jewish customs. As a matter of fact, when he'd go to a new town, most of the time, the first place he'd go was to the synagogue to minister to the Jews. But his point was, when he was around the Jewish community, he was careful not to offend them. Now grab hold of this, because you'll never believe this. We can be offensive. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about standing for gospel truths. I'm talking about, in general, just being offensive. Okay? Paul is saying, when I was around the Jews, I acted like a Jew. Why? Because there were some customs that the Jews had that if you did not observe the customs, you were just an unclean pagan. They wouldn't have anything to do with you. Paul said, when he was around those that was with the law or observe the Old Testament law, he observed the Old Testament law. Why? So he wouldn't offend those folks. When he was around the pagans, he became as a pagan or those without law. Then he did point out, you can abuse this scripture really quick if you don't keep it in context. He did point out, I did not become without law toward God. For example, when he was around a drunkard, Paul did not become a drunkard. Okay? But the point of all of that was that he was very, very careful, even respectful toward people and their customs. And he had an ulterior motive, and that ulterior motive was to win them to Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul himself, in Acts chapter 17, dealing with pagans, the city of Athens, filled with idol gods. And Paul, instead of most of us would have probably marched in there and said, you bunch of heathen, you're going to split hell wide open. There's no hope for you. If you. Paul didn't. You know what Paul did in the city of Athens? Very respectfully, he began to teach them. And he said, I noticed when I came into this city, you have a statue called the Unknown God. And then Paul said, let me tell you about that unknown God. His name, ultimately, after he preaches to him quite a while, his name is Jesus. He's the creator of the universe. He hung the sun, moon, and the stars. And he begins to preach Jesus Christ to them. But he does it without offense. And I say that because as I said before, we can be offensive if we're not really careful. Paul said, by all means, I've became all things to all people that I by all means might win some. And what he's using there, he's trying to indicate the extent we would say today, I do whatever it takes to reach them, short of compromising Scripture. Okay? Here's the challenge. Challenge to be loyal to the Lord. Challenge in our loyalty to the Lord to serve others the gospel. But the challenge is also to be, are you with me? Grab a hold of this one, because this is completely foreign in many missionary Baptist churches today. Be flexible. Boy, I just knew that would get an amen. I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying be flexible. Do you realize people change? Cultures change. Did you know what? Some churches are not meeting on Sunday night anymore. Instead, they meet on Saturday night. They have a Saturday night service and a Sunday morning service. That's just unscriptural. No, it's not. No, it's not. You see what they're doing? They're ministering in their community. And they're doing what it takes to reach people in their community. But there are those in our ranks that would just throw an absolute fit. June 2nd, we're having Ascending Sunday to send out Ben and Mitchell in our new mission in the new mission field in Columbia, Missouri. You know what? I would almost guarantee you, Brother Ben's going to have to do some different things other than what we do here in Russellville. Because I guarantee you those folks in Columbia are a little bit different than we are. And he's going to have to be flexible enough to meet the needs of those people there. Did you know there are some churches now that are only singing contemporary music? Why, the heathen? That's the attitude of some. Because they've sung Amazing Grace so long, they don't know there is any other songs, you know. Don't get me wrong, I love Amazing Grace. But again, we have to be flexible to the point to realize doctrine and custom. Okay? We may have to change our custom. We may have to be flexible to reach a generation. And that's okay. And that's expected. That was Paul's mentality here. Tonight we've got a church vote. And we're going to vote on this really new idea called a kiosk, where that you can do your giving online, or you can do your giving here by sliding your bank card. And you know, first time I heard about that, I thought, that's just ridiculous. Don't say amen to that, because I've changed my mind since. But I thought, no way. My giving should be more than sliding a card. And then I went to Walmart. And you know what I did at Walmart? I bought what I wanted to buy, and I went through the checkout line and I swiped my card. Then I went and got gas. I got up there to pump my gas. I didn't go in. I put my card in the gas pump and pulled it out. And it gave me gas. Worked really good. And I began to think and to realize, hey, this is a completely different culture. I can't live like I lived 20 years ago. I like being able to use my card at Walmart. I like going to a gas station and not having to go in, but just sliding my card. You know, I enjoy and I practice those things. Now, why would I say it's ungodly to do it in a church when I do it everywhere else? You see, I'm the kind of person that, you know, if I do it everywhere else, I probably, it should be acceptable to the Lord, right? Yeah. Besides, we're coming with a generation that they never have any money on them. If we're going to get any offering out of them, we better give them a card. Just teasing. Not really. But you know, there are churches that if that came up, some would just absolutely have a cow. Point is, you minister to people where they are. There are, and I know, you know, I don't know how many people will win to the Lord because we have a kiosk or not, but you see the point, okay? Things change. Cultures change, societies change, and we have to change with them so that we can meet people where they are to tell them the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what they need. That's what they've got to have. And that's our responsibility. I've said this often. We call it a great commission. It is a great commission. That means it's really, really important. It's not an okay commission. It's not an optional commission. It is the great commission, the great command that Jesus gave for us to go and meet people where they are and teach them all of His commandments. We have that responsibility. Why? So that we can save some. I realize we may not reach everyone everywhere, but beloved, we need to be trying, fighting tooth and nail because people are going to hell. We're losing people today. I like the way that Paul put it next. He said, that I might be, in that last verse, verse 23, that I might be a partaker, a fellow participant. The idea, his idea was this, that Paul didn't wish to enjoy the gospel of Jesus Christ by himself. And you know what? Neither should we. A lot of people have the attitude today, I'm going to heaven. That's good enough. No, it's not. What about your kids? What about your brother, your sisters? What about your friends? What about those that are sitting across the pew from you? Do you realize in a congregation this size, likely there are people in this congregation who have never made a commitment to Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. It is our responsibility to share Jesus with them. I want others to know the joy of knowing Christ that I have. Now, I don't pretend to stand in front of you and say, well, everything's always rosy because Jesus Christ is my Savior. No, but I will tell you this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I face the hard times, Jesus is there. When the mountains, Jesus is there. When I'm going through the valleys, Jesus is there. And when I come to the end of this life, my friend Jesus will be there. I want everyone to have that knowledge. But everybody doesn't. And I want to close with scripture from the book of Revelation, which there's coming a day. There's coming a day that Jesus Christ is going to step out on the cloud, the voice of the archangel, and we're going to hear the come up hither, and buddy, we are gone, those who are children of God. But at the end of the age, there's going to be a judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment. And that's the judgment you don't want to be at. And I don't want you to think as a preacher I'm making this up. Okay? So I'm going to read and I want to share with you the book of Revelation chapter 20, beginning reading in verse 11, where it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for Him. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God." Now grab this. This life is over. things are done. It's judgment day. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now grab a hold of this. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you, my friends, you're not going to live forever. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We will stand accountable before God. Every man, woman, and child in this congregation this morning will stand before God. And this is the great white throne judgment. And at the great white throne judgment, it's a judgment for lost people. And at that judgment, there's a book that's going to be opened that we call the Lamb's Book of Life. And when that Lamb's Book of Life is opened, and your name is not found written in there, was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you what the Word of God says. But I'll tell you what, it'd scare me. Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? You see, everybody wants to go to heaven. As a matter of fact, everybody thinks they're going to heaven, but that's not true. You see, there's only one way to heaven, as I said in the beginning of this message, that one way is Jesus Christ. Have you called upon Him for salvation? It don't matter, you know, you've been a church member for 50 years. Well, good for you, but have you committed your life to Christ? Have you made that conscious decision where you gave your life to Christ? If not, read the last. Was cast into the lake of fire. That's where you're going. Now today, you got to deal with it. You have to make a decision. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for your sins because you are a sinner, all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Everyone in here has an issue of sin. We have a sin problem. Oh, I know we try to act like we don't, and we want everybody to think we've got everything all under control and we're all good little people, but that's a lie. We're all sinners in need of the grace of God. And Jesus Christ came to this earth and He sacrificed His life to take our punishment to Himself. He did it all for you and for me. All because He loved us. Okay? Now you have to make a decision. The Bible says, Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Well, I walked down the aisle. Didn't ask you if you walked down the aisle. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, he who walks down the aisle shall be saved. It doesn't say that. Well, I was baptized. Well, the Bible doesn't say, he who has been baptized. No. The command, he who calls, committing his life to Christ, shall be saved. That's the idea of call. Have you done that? If not, today's the day. Today's the day. You have heard the gospel. The gospel literally means good news. The good news is you don't have to be cast into the lake of fire because Jesus Christ loves you and paid for your sin. But you have to decide to receive Christ or to reject Him. My friends, we're going to have a verse of invitation now. And I'm going to urge you. You're going to decide in this invitation. If you say, I'll decide later. No, that's a rejection. Okay? Right now, it's to the point. It's a yes or a no. A yes, I'll call upon Christ. Or a no, I will not. That's the only two options. Today, I assure you of this. I assure you, it'll be the best decision you've ever made if you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Brother Doug, you know, I'm afraid what everybody else will think. No, don't give us that. Everybody here will rejoice in you coming to know Christ as your Savior. They will.
Because you know why? We don't want to enjoy the gospel alone. Right? The invitation's open to you. Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. Maybe you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. This invitation's for you also. Perhaps it's time for rededication. Perhaps you've been wasting opportunities and not been that servant. So you need to rededicate your life. This invitation's for you. Whatever your spiritual need is, I ask you, say yes to Jesus. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for the opportunity to serve, Lord. And thank you for giving your life upon Calvary for our sins. And now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray that you will move in a mighty way, convicting those who have never made a profession of faith, convicting them of sin, and calling upon them, Lord, to respond to your invitation. I pray that today, even now, Lord, they'll call upon you for salvation. Lord, I pray that your will be done in every life in this invitation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray.